This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area's talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
Welcome to KCBS In-Depth. I'm Holly Kwan. The devastating fires in Southern California are a reminder of the same risks we face here in the Bay Area. Several areas share the same demographics as what created the firestorm in Los Angeles. In this week's In-Depth, we'll bring you part two of a recent special hosted by FireSafe Marin, titled L.A. Fires, Lessons for Marin. Here now is host Rick Shortall and a panel of experts.
So let's kind of go back to residents in homes and whatnot. Jason, is there anything we can do to prevent homes from burning?
Absolutely. And we've talked about the vegetation management. I think it's easy to look up at the hills and say that's the problem. But, you know, only 50% of Marin, and it's considerable, is, you know, protected open space lands, either federal, state, or local. The other is really residential neighborhoods and where the structures are. And where we need to focus our attention is on every single house and every backyard. And when we start to scale that on, you know, starts with a few homes, then goes to a neighborhood, then goes to a community, you can see the reach that you'd have. That is what is going to interrupt, you know, the conflagration and the fear that we all have about fire spreading through communities and killing people. And it starts right in your backyard. It's that first 5 feet that is so critically important around the house that you create a non-combustible zone. And then minor modifications, and they don't have to be super expensive, that you make to your home to make it more ember resistant. Everyone should be going to FireSafe Marin's website. There are great videos. There's great information on steps you can take that aren't super expensive and have large impacts. And that's where we need to start and really drive it home tonight. It starts right in your yard.
I heard some of the CAL FIRE chiefs after the fire in Los Angeles and other fires explaining this is really a partnership. It's not as if the government or the fire community, anybody else can just say, we'll take care of it all for you, you don't have to worry about it. Most of the land that ends up in the built environment being burned is privately owned, and it's not possible to come in and deal with that. So what we're hoping, besides all this work with the fuel breaks and whatnot, is that residents, in fact, are going to take action. So you talked about the first 5 feet, how important that is. What are some of the other things that people should be doing to make their homes more resistant to the embers that are, in fact, what burn most homes down?
Well, the first 5 feet, most important. One of the next ones is your vents, of whether it's your attic vents or your subfloor vents. Make sure that they're 1/8 inch or less so that embers that are attacking your house, and that's what it is, they're embers attacking your house, can't get inside those vents. They will hit the 1/8 mesh and fall down to the ground, which is why Zone Zero is so important, so that when those embers hit your house and fall down to the ground, they don't start burning up to the sides of your house. Non-combustible siding, that can be a really expensive adaptation, so which makes it even more important that we do Zone Zero. But if you are going to be re-siding your house, it would be really good if you have non-combustible siding. Marin has had a Class A roof ordinance since the early 90s. A lot of the non-Class A roofs have been attrited out, but we still have quite a few non-Class A roofs. And so that's where an ember can land on the roof and catch that roof on fire. And then we just ask for what we call fire smart landscaping. We're not asking you to completely remove all vegetation out of your property. We're asking for separation both horizontally and vertically. So when an ember lands in your yard, even if it catches something on fire, it'll just stay with that localized plant instead of moving horizontally or going up into the canopy. And then it's the canopy burning with those embers. That's what catches houses on fire.
How about gates and fences?
I was just going to say.
Thank you for catching that. Thank you.
Think of this. Mark described the plants and the configuration. Think of it as a chain towards your house. And if you've got to interrupt that chain in order to stop that. And so combustible fences that we all have that butt up against our house, a side gate or a deck that there's no clearance, that is just part of the chain that leads fire right to your house. And once a fire ignites your house and we're stretched thin, there's almost no chance to save it. Or there is for one house, but not the other seven around it. So interrupting that things like combustible fences that are adjacent to, or decks, or you name it, where fire can propagate from one thing to the next right up to your house is what we're trying to interrupt.
Yeah. So people, most Marin residents now have received a report, quite detailed, listing these types of actions in there. Got to open the report to find out what they are. But I think as has been pointed out more than once, it can seem intimidating. It can be a lot. So I think part of the strategy is a gradual plan. Start on that first 5 feet. That's kind of the most critical. And then can have a multi-year plan if that's what you need to do. Chip away at it a little bit at a time. Make a big difference over time.
And if you're a contractor and you're wondering how you can participate, go to FireSafe Marin. Get the information. There are courses out there for contractors. If you're not sure if it's something that you can't do yourself. We encourage everybody, and this is a community event. It's not just our residents, it's also our contractors.
Yeah. And our approach, we're calling it the house out approach. That's what Marin Wildfire and our member agencies are doing. We're starting with the built environment and working out from there. We're asking the resident to take that same approach. You have that long list of items and you're creating your strategy to mitigate those resolutions, start at the house and work out from there.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And, we've had people say, well, under 100-mile-an-hour winds, under 60-mile-an-hour winds, none of these actions are going to do any good, but that's actually not true. Milliman and CoreLogic, who are two powerful firms within the insurance industry, did some risk modeling. And if you start having the 25% level of community engagement, the resiliency of that neighborhood really starts to climb. Once we hit 50 to 75% of our community starting to take engagement, that's when we start seeing resiliency for our communities.
So really, if you think about it, in a built-out semi-urban environment, if all the homes had what we call fire smart landscaping, 5 feet cleared, the right fence, gutters, the proper windows, non-combustible siding, those homes just aren't going to burn, even if it's a really big fire.
And we don't start the urban conflagration.
Perfect.
And if you think about it, once one house is on fire, and then two, and then three, the amount of ember cast and the heat coming off of those homes just further propagates. And so you end up contributing to the problem rather than helping it, and it's hurting your whole community.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to talk a little bit about insurance. But, you know, if it's not us that's motivating you, I think that we can all expect in California we're going to be motivated by our insurance companies to make the changes necessary.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that, where we think insurance is going.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's frightening, quite honestly. You know, you look at the losses, the magnitude of losses, the liquidity that, you know, the FAIR plan has, and just in the LA fires alone, you know, and the impacts that's going to have across the insurance industry. I think you're going to see the legislator and others have to take action to try to stabilize the market. But I think that is one piece of the puzzle. You know, California residents are going to have to come to the table. We're going to have to create fire-adapted communities, doing all these things that we talked about in order to reduce the risk to these insurance companies, in order to keep them in California and keep our rates at a reasonable level.
Yeah, I think that's definitely where we're heading.
And in order for the insurance industry to re-engage in California, they're going to insist upon that their customers start taking action on their property, whether it's home hardening or in Zone Zero. And that is how I think we're going to be able to have that public-private partnership of us supporting our residents to get the work done on their property. And then it's the insurance industry saying, all right, if you guys do your good work, we're going to insure you.
Yeah. I think one fire code issue that might be coming down the line, a lot of talk about it, is a code that would require that the first 5 feet around the home, Zone Zero, in fact, be properly prepared. We're looking at that at some point, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think, one, you have the Board of Forests, a recent executive order from the governor's office, moving forward with very high severity zones and, you know, an ordinance to follow. You know, local agencies are going to have to take action on that. And I think that you're going to see a lot of proactive approaches here with Zone Zero from local agencies that may not be covered under that executive order or a very high fire zone. But all of us recognizing that this should be a standard. And, you know, these fires are not just in the very high or in the wooey. They are coming into more urban settings. And therefore, you know, our codes and ordinances should be contemporary and reflect what we're seeing across the board. So I do believe that you're going to see ordinances coming forward here in Marin, and I suspect, you know, other parts of California. You know, we can't be less restrictive than the state, but we can be more restrictive. And I think this is, again, it's not to torture people. It's because we need to stabilize our insurance market. We need to keep people safe. And most importantly, we need not have another fatality from a wildfire in California.
And let's support our elected officials who have to make these more difficult decisions. Everything will be in public hearings and whatnot. But when you hear that we're trying to come up with a code, that's to protect everybody. It may be inconvenient at first, but this is a little bit of an aesthetic change. Everybody will be doing it, and we'll all be a lot safer. So let's support them and make their jobs a little bit easier, too. So let's take a few questions out here. We actually haven't gotten very many yet, so for those in the audience out there, feel free to bring in some of the questions. One of them is residents who have pools, you know, 10,000 gallons of water, what, are there ways to let firefighters know that that water is available for them? Does that make a difference?
So, you know, we'll know from our helicopters and resources above us where water sources are, and even those helicopters will use those pools and other things at times. You know, we have Google Earth images that are right on our tablet commands, which are in each vehicle. So, and we will use that water source. We have Honda pumps that can extract the water and be used. We're resourceful, and, you know, I think that there are quite a few pools, and we have access to images that'll show us.
Yeah, so basically, feel reassured that firefighters understand the terrain, know it's available out there. They're out there working in these environments. They're not going to miss a pool if it's out there and it can help them.
But if I can add on to that, a lot of pool areas are gated and fenced, and sometimes those gates are locked. And so we want to be able to open up, and we'll find a way through that lock. But it would be better if we didn't have to find a way through a locked gate to get to a pool.
Yeah, sounds good. Another one, is there any information about how the fires in L.A. started? I know that's always complicated and takes time to investigate. Probably a little premature for that, but any thoughts that you want to share, or is it just kind of what we typically see?
I really try to not pay attention to that until the final report, because I've heard about six or seven different theories, and I bet you they're all wrong.
I think it's fair to say. Give it time to, you know, it happens. So we've talked a lot about the importance of having defensible space. We have the home evaluation program out there. What is being done when people are not creating defensible space and, in fact, creating a big problem for their neighbors out there?
Well, it depends. It goes from community to community to community. The agency having jurisdiction has the authority to enforce the codes and ordinances. San Rafael at this time is the only community within Marin County that is issuing citations. And we're going to see how effective that is in creating compliance across the communities. Throughout the state, communities that have done citations haven't seen a large increase in citations. There's lots of reasons for that. For the rest of our member agencies, we've been taking the public education approach. And I want to tie it back to insurance, though. I think insurance may be one of the biggest tools for us to get compliance.
Just to add to that, there's, as Mark was mentioning, there's a lot of people that are doing things that sometimes they just don't know. And so, you know, within the Office of Emergency Management, in partnership with a lot of the agencies, it's all about community and making sure that you know your neighbor, start talking to your neighbor. And yes, there might be those difficult conversations that might happen, but sometimes people just don't know that the eucalyptus tree is hazardous. And sometimes having that neighbor-to-neighbor contact and saying, you know, I'm doing this on my property, and here's why. And hopefully that turns into the change throughout the community to say, you know what, I didn't know that was a hazardous, you know, hazardous brush. That way you can slowly start seeing change throughout a community. And maybe that one hazardous house now is no longer the hazardous house because you see all of the change that's happening in the community. And so that's where all of the partner agencies working together take that same mindset into the community, neighbors talking to neighbors. But also when it comes down to evacuations, the more that you know your neighbors, the better that you can start having a plan that works for everyone.
When I'd say 9 out of 10 times when we get a complaint from a neighbor, you know, we go out to the house and that individual that complained has some issues to work on too. So I think it's the approach needs to be that we're all in this together. The other piece is we all have the ability to do abatements, forced abatements. The amount of staff time it takes to get through that and then the court order and ultimately, you know, going and doing the abatement takes away from our ability to educate, you know, 10 to 1, 50 to 1, the people that are really trying to make a difference. So that complicates things. But we all do have the ability to go to forced abatement for non-compliant.
And Rich, if I could add a couple things to help increase whether you call it compliance or people taking action. FireWise Communities is a really good way. And FireWise Communities is through the National Fire Protection Association. And it's a certification for your community that says that you've done this amount of work, that you've done this amount of public education, and that you've come together. And to me, what we find is that if the peer pressure of our neighbors working together, when they see me taking action on my property, then my neighbor tends to take action. That's one. Two, we've been doing a little bit of research on why people are taking action. And you'd be surprised about how many people are taking action because it's the right thing to do for their community. And so we just need to get them to know it's the right thing to do. And with our inspections, we find that if the resident walks with our inspector, they are far more likely to take action. So we ask our residents to take advantage of the opportunity to walk around the house with the inspector.
Yeah. Good pitch for the FireWise program. If you're not sure, you can go to the Fire Safe Marin website. You can find out if you're in a FireWise site or not. If you're not, you want to start one, reach out to us. We'll help you do that.
Yeah.
It's a great program. And it's a neighbor helping neighbor, which is really the key to all of this. I think. Another question. Person's asking about vents. Is there a type event? And I don't think it's a brand as much, but what type of vent would you recommend that people put on their homes?
At a minimum, we would like 1/8-inch mesh, and you can get some where it's just a band of mesh that you can staple over the you know, usually circular vents that are up in your attic or the rectangular vents at your subfloor. But you also can get inserts that go in. Those are great, and then the ultimate is there's vents that you can put in that when they sense heat, there's actually a chemical formation that stops all airflow and air movement through that vent, so no embers will get through.
Yeah, there's quite a few manufacturers out there. They're all very good. They have to be certified and whatnot, so you have multiple choices, but those are the basic options that are out there. Let's see. One concern is, how big of a threat is a fire community seeing lithium batteries these days?
You know, I think I heard somewhere that the largest hazmat post-fire is happening in Los Angeles right now. And I think that, you know, this is a new and emerging challenge for us. When we have, you know, if we said take one car, well, take the car with the battery. Being my recommendation, but make sure it's charged. You know, and I think it presents new challenges for all of us. And we're still working with that in the industry on how we, you know, mitigate those.
Yeah. It is new, something we're dealing with out there. Is there any kind of paint that you could just put on your deck and then I don't have to worry it's not going to burn up?
There are treatments that you can buy. There is a new fire retardant paint that hasn't gotten any United States approvals, but it's actually approved for use in Australia. So we've been tracking that to see if it gets United States approval, to see if it's effective. We've seen some demos where it does look to be beneficial. It would basically make a wood siding act like stucco siding. How long that will last, we don't know. When it comes to treatment of your deck and or vegetation, there are spray-on applications that you can do that have shown some efficacy, but it's a once-a-year type application.
Yeah. So I would imagine the paints would be more for the siding of the house. You put it on a deck, it's not really designed to be walked on and whatnot.
Right.
And I think the important thing for decks is take advantage of that 5-foot strategy. Make sure there's nothing stored underneath it. You ought to be able to basically sort of ember-proof your deck without having to remove it and paint it. Paint is really not, at this point, something that we could recommend as an absolute strategy.
Correct. But if you take the Zone Zero strategy, then the combustibility of your siding becomes much less important. And Zone Zero is one of the spots where we're having the hardest time to get people to comply. But the fact of the matter is it's one of the cheapest ones you can do. It doesn't take a lot of money to create Zone Zero.
Yeah. We have a question about PG&E, and let's face it, they're not always getting the best reputation these days. You guys jump in here, but I'm just going to tell you my own experience with PG&E has actually been pretty positive. In my own property, every 2 years they come through, they walk all the lines out there. They have been, there's clearances which they're required to create around lines and whatnot. They've been doing that. They do put a lot of grants out there. Fire Safe Marin has been acting with those. They've been helpful. I'm not saying that everything is perfect, but correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like they really are trying to partner with everybody and make it work.
You know, I've recently seen commercials with PG&E and talking to residents, and they are forward-leaning. And, you know, I think they've got an infrastructure in place that existed for a long time, and they are making real efforts to try to harden that infrastructure, make it more fire resilient. And they're working with all of us. They've got public safety reps. You know, recently PG&E committed a helicopter to the North Bay that we host for firefighting efforts. So they really are partnering with us and trying to harden their system and make it safer. And
they're a key partner. When we activate the Emergency Operations Center, they're a key partner in the communication, and they have a seat at the table.
Speaking of communication, Stephen talked about all the great systems we have to get alert and warning out. I'm going to make a little pitch for KCBS Radio, Channel 740 News. They take all of this very seriously. They have been supporting the wildfire prevention effort for a long time, working closely with Fire Safe Marin and public agencies. And they also will be broadcasting information that you can trust has been vetted, so it's the correct information. They work closely with Office of Emergency Management, so I'll make a little pitch for, if nothing else, you can always turn into them and you'll get get the latest on the news feed that's out there. As we're kind of wrapping up here, maybe if I could ask each of you, I'll start with you, Rick, if there's one message that you would like to leave our audience with.
Yes. Preparedness is vital to your survival. And we ask that all of you, one, sign up for Alert Marin, have those critical notifications at your fingertips so that you know when to evacuate, where to go. Also, have a plan. Communicate with your family members and know this is my evacuation route, and have an alternative route if it's available. Have a go bag. Be prepared. Have this in your forefront. And I don't know if this is time for me to talk about some preparedness that we have, or do you want me to wait until
end? Go for it.
So Chief Weber and others at this table have talked about our collaboration and our partnership and being prepared so that we can provide the best public safety to our community members. We have a evacuation drill going on in Southern Marin. We are taking the lead in Mill Valley, but it is truly a partnership and a collaboration with Marin Wildland Fire Protection Authority, Office of Emergency Management, Marin County Fire, Southern Marin Fire, California Highway Patrol, CHP, our CERTS, our Emergency Preparedness Commission. We are all coming to the table so that we can run a drill that is not only beneficial to us in public safety, but also our community members, so that they have muscle memory. When they run an evacuation, they know where they're going. In our Google study, we realized that we have an additional evacuation path, which we call the Hamilton Shortcut, that we're going to drill on April 26th. And that is a key piece to getting people out of the threat zone, out of the canyon, and onto a major thoroughfare to get out of the disaster area.
Great. Let's get a lot of participation for that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I want to encourage our communities to get out there, community members to get out there and participate with us so that they know what to expect when we have to activate an evacuation.
Great. Good work there in Mill Valley. Mark?
I would just like to say that the strength of our communities is in some of its parts. And if everybody does their part, then the resiliency and the strengths of our community is going to go up dramatically. Remember those numbers I talked to you about. If 25% of our homes start getting their work done, we see a modest climb in the resiliency. But once we hit 50 to 80% of our structures residents taking action, our resiliency goes way up. So please take action. And then I wanted to mention that we have about $2.55 million this fiscal year put towards home hardening, defensible space grants, direct assistance for those who don't have the financial resources due to work themselves. We're putting the contractors on the property, and then voluntary abatements. So we're making a tremendous investment into our residents. And what we're finding with our grant program, though, for every dollar that Bring Wildfire is putting towards the resident, they're putting $6 or $7. So we see that as a return on our investment.
And how do residents access that?
They can go to Marin Wildfire, click on resident info, and go to the grants tab.
Great. Super. Steven?
So I'll take two quick things. Number one, we're always talking about getting information out, but we want to make sure that people are going to trusted information. Make sure that you follow your local agencies on social media. Make sure you're signing up for Alert Marin. That's how you get access to that trusted and verified information. So when it hits KCBS, when it hits you on your text message, you know exactly if an agency is saying evacuate, you can believe that message when it gets to you. In addition to that, we want to make sure that everything that you've heard today, it sounds like a lot. However, we know that all hazards planning is the best way to do this. Whether you're talking about evacuations for wildfires or earthquakes or any other type of emergency, use this as one tool to be able to say, I can do all hazards planning when it comes to disaster response. You don't have to have a unique plan for every single thing. Take this wildfire plan. Take your tsunami plan. All of these things all work together, and so it's an easy process. It's just a matter of getting it started, but also getting that trusted information.
Good advice, Stephen. Thank you. Jason?
I think you heard it. This is about a partnership tonight. We need everybody to do their part and focus on your home out. We as public agencies are all working very closely together. Take the few minutes to go visit Fire Safe Marin's website. I think you will learn an enormous amount. This can seem overwhelming when you get that report or you try to figure out what to do. It can be taken in small chunks. We're here to help you. We're here to support you. When we all do this together, we're going to make Marin a safer place and more resilient.
I love that. Sort of, if I were to leave my closing remarks, it really would be this idea that we, in fact, can protect our homes. There's action we can take. You've heard about it. We're all in this together. It makes a difference. I'll make one last time the pitch for the Fire Safe Marin, both website and YouTube channel. And if you're still not sure and you have questions, just write us an email. We'll get back to you right away. We're happy to respond to anything you need to do, that you need to know about how to protect your home. But the fact is, if we all work together, we can be very safe here in Marin County.
You've been listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.